All right, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going deep on a case that really gets to the core of how courts look at money disputes, especially when those agreements, the handshake deals, never actually make it into a written contract. We're talking Maglica v. Maglica.
Yeah, this one's big.
It is.
Especially, I think, for anyone interested in business law,
Oh, absolutely.
especially the kind of the nuances of quantum meruit and implied contracts.
Yeah, and this isn't just some like theoretical thing, right?
That's
This is a story with real people.
Oh, absolutely. Real people, millions of dollars at stake, a relationship that falls apart and all comes down to, these legal principles. And as you mentioned, quantum meruit and implied contract. I mean, those are things that come up all the time
All the time,
in
right?
business and personal dealings.
And for anyone listening to kind of give you a sense of what we're dealing with here, the initial jury awarded Claire Maglica, I mean, a huge sum of money.
$84 million.
$84 million, but then
Overturned on appeal.
overturned on appeal. So our mission in this deep dive is to figure out why. We're going to break down the facts, the reasoning of the court, and really the big lesson here for anyone who's, working in a business, in a relationship without those really clearly written agreements.
Right, especially that difference between getting paid for your work and then saying, I deserve a piece of this. I'm an owner. Yeah, that's a big distinction. So
Okay, so let's get into it.
let's get into it.
This is a wild case. So to really understand all this, we need to go back, way back.
Way back.
Right, so Anthony Maglica, he starts his machine shop. I mean, this is decades ago.
1955.
1955, all right.
Then he gets divorced.
Okay.
And in 1971, he meets Claire Halas.
Good.
They start living together. They're presenting themselves as a married couple. Claire even takes Anthony's last name. So,
Yeah.
to the outside world,
It looks like a partnership.
yeah, it looks like a partnership, both
Well, no.
personally and, as we'll see, in the business as well.
But, and this is key for everyone listening, despite appearances, they never legally marry,
Never legally marry.
which, as you can imagine, becomes a really big deal in this case.
It does.
Yeah. And to make things even more, I guess, complex, Claire's not just, at home.
Right.
She's involved in the business.
Very involved.
Yeah, and not just any business. She plays a big role in developing, I mean, the iconic Maglite flashlight.
Which, as we all know, huge success.
Huge. So her contributions,
Very significant.
very significant, beyond, I mean, way beyond.
Yeah, beyond a typical, spouse or partner.
Right, exactly. Okay, so then we get to a really important point in this whole story. 1974, MAG Instrument is incorporated.
And this is where things get, legally interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Because all those shares
All the shares go to where?
to Anthony. Claire becomes the secretary, gets a salary, and this is kind of setting the stage.
Yeah, because it's clear legally.
Legally, it's his company,
His company.
even though she's contributing.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so fast forward now, 1992. MAG Instrument has exploded in value.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. And, given how much Claire's been involved,
Right.
her potential claim, I mean, it's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So what happens? What's the thing that leads to the lawsuit?
Well, Claire discovers that Anthony has been transferring stock to his children,
Ah, okay.
essentially cutting her out
Wow.
of this, now very valuable company.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to their separation in October of 92.
You're okay.
And then Claire files her lawsuit the next year in 1993.
Okay. And I mean, she doesn't just go in with one argument,
But
right?
no, she's got a whole, she's throwing the book at him.
Yeah, what are some of the things she's claiming?
So, breach of contract, breach of partnership agreement, fraud, breach of fiduciary duty,
Wow.
and importantly for us, quantum meruit, which is, a claim for the reasonable value of her
Yeah,
services.
right. And the jury sides with her
Jury sides with her.
to the tune of
$84 million.
$84 million.
Yeah, for breach of fiduciary duty and quantum meruit.
Okay, so this is a massive win for Claire, right?
Huge win.
Huge win at trial.
Yeah.
So for all the law students out there listening, this is where it gets really juicy. Why does the appeals court overturn this decision? What did they see as wrong?
All right. So the appellate court focuses on two main issues.
Okay.
First, they look at that $84 million quantum meruit award.
Okay.
And they're like, wait a minute, how did they get to that number?
Right.
And second, they look at the jury instructions
On the
on implied
jury.
contracts.
Right.
And were they accurate? were they legally sound?
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, they rule against Claire on both of these points.
Wow. Okay, let's break it down. First, the quantum root part. So it seems like the trial jury, they basically connected Claire's compensation to how much Meg Instrument grew.
Right. They're saying, you know, the company's worth hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
She deserves a piece of that growth.
Right. But what did the appellate court say about that?
Well, they say, whoa, 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 quantum merit. That's not how that works.
Okay.
They say quantum merit is about compensating someone for the reasonable value of the services they actually provided.
Got it.
Not for how much the defendant, in this case Anthony, benefited.
Okay, so it's about how much Claire's work was worth.
Exactly.
Not how much money Anthony's company made.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because they say, look, that $84 million award, that's treating Claire like she's a shareholder.
Right.
Like she owns part of the company.
Yeah.
And there's no legal basis for that.
Right, yeah.
She never had any shares.
So, I mean, they're making a really important distinction here, right?
Huge distinction.
It's about getting paid for what you did.
Right.
Not getting a share of the profits just because the business did well.
Yeah, and the court was very clear about this. They said, and I'm quoting here, quantum meruit compensates for services rendered, not the defendant's resulting benefit.
Wow.
So very clear.
Very clear. Can you give us an example just to make this really concrete for our listeners?
Sure, sure. Let's say, for example, Claire was in charge of designing the packaging for the Maglite.
Oh, okay.
And she did that for, let's say, 10 years.
Okay.
Quantum meruit would say, okay, what's the fair market value for a packaging designer with her experience over 10 years?
Right.
That's what she should get. It shouldn't suddenly become millions just because the flashlights sold really well.
Right, because that profit that goes to the owner.
Exactly, the owner of the company, in this case, Anthony.
Anthony. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So that's the quantum merit issue. Mm. Now, what about the jury instructions on the implied contracts? What was wrong there?
Right, so the judge at the trial, he told the jury that just because Anthony and Claire lived together, shared a last name, that by itself didn't mean there was an agreement to share the business.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, that's correct.
Okay.
But the appeals court says it's not the whole story.
Okay. What's missing?
Well, they say, yeah, those things alone, living together, sharing a name, they don't automatically equal a contract.
Right.
But they can be part of the evidence.
Okay.
Especially, they say, when you look at those things, along with all the other stuff Claire did for the business.
Right, like working there for 20 years, contributing to its success.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the court's worry was that the jury might have thought, oh, they lived together, shared a name, that's it, no contract.
Yeah.
End of story. But they say, no, 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 you got to look at the whole picture.
Okay, so they're not saying those things automatically mean there's a contract.
Right.
They're just saying the jury should have been able to consider them.
Exactly, along with everything else.
Along with everything else.
Yeah. So because of this error in the jury instructions, and because of the whole quantum meruit issue, mm-hmm. the court decides, all right, new trial.
Wow, a whole new trial.
A whole new trial.
But then, and this is where things get even more interesting, there's another twist.
Another twist. What happened?
They settle. Before the new trial even starts. In 2000,
go ahead.
Anthony agrees to pay Claire $29
million. $29
million. Yeah.
So from $84 million down to $29 million. I mean, what does that tell us about lawsuits, about the legal process?
Well, I think it shows just how unpredictable things can be.
Right.
You know, you can win big at trial.
Yeah.
But then appeals happen.
Right.
And things can change. And also, I think it shows how expensive lawsuits can get.
Yeah.
And how much time they can take.
Yeah.
So both sides probably looked at all that and said, you know, let's just end this.
Let's just make a deal.
Make a deal.
Okay. And I know we mentioned the statute of limitations earlier. Can you remind us what that is and why it matters here?
Yeah. So a statute of limitations is basically a time limit for filing a lawsuit.
All right.
In California, for quantum meruit, it's 2 years.
2 years. So Claire and Anthony split in October of 92.
Right.
She filed her lawsuit in 93.
So she was within the 2 years.
Well, within that time limit.
Okay.
So no problem there.
But if she had waited longer.
If she had waited 3 years, 4 years, she might have been out of luck.
Out of luck.
Couldn't even bring the claim.
Wow. Okay. And, you know, the fact that they had to have a whole new trial, right?
Right.
Because of those jury instruction issues.
Right.
I mean, that really shows how important the details are.
The details are everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap this up. For our listeners, what are the big takeaways from this wild case?
All right. So first, quantum meruit.
Yeah.
It's about fair compensation for the work you did.
Right.
It's not about getting a piece of the business just because it did well.
Got it.
Second, jury instructions. Those are crucial.
Yeah.
Little mistakes in those instructions can have huge consequences.
Absolutely.
And third, even if you win at trial, appeals can happen.
Right.
And settlements are common.
Right.
So always be thinking about the big picture, the long game.
The long game, yeah. And one last thing, you know, we talked about living together, sharing a name.
Right.
Not automatically a contract, but...
But not irrelevant.
Not irrelevant?
Courts can look at all of that.
As part of the bigger story.
Exactly.
Okay, so, you know, as you're thinking about Maglica v. Maglica, think about this. What does this mean for people today who are living together, maybe contributing to each other's businesses, but without those formal agreements?
Right.
What can they do to protect themselves, to be clear about what they expect, and maybe avoid a legal battle like this one?
Yeah, something to think about.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for diving deep with us today.